They've asked me to do a short sermon today. And I am always obliged. But I just don't know what the Holy Spirit wants. So I will talk until he's finished. Okay? And if that means I go a little later, I hope you're okay with it. Because if you're not, it just really hurt me. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. We're going to read the first 10 verses of this chapter. I titled this, The Hour of Power. There's two ways that you can preach, well, probably many ways. There's two ways in my mind that you can preach this passage of Scripture. You can preach it from the layman's perspective, or you can preach it from Peter and John's perspective. And today I'm preaching it from Peter and John's perspective. I have talked about this from the other perspective before. And I titled that sermon, The Day the Crippled Danced in Church. And I'm ready for that day. How about you? I'm ready for the day when the Holy Ghost just sets us free just to enjoy his presence. Oh boy. Now see, there's something about a short sermon. See, a short sermon means you have to listen really, really good. Because if I have to repeat myself, it's not going to be short. It also means the punches are going to come quick, right? So you gotta take the punch and let's go on. So I want to make one announcement. You know, for a couple of weeks, we brought the flower pot out with a tree and watched it bloom and bud. And it was for missions. And that's what we, every dime that you gave went to missions. A lot of times we don't report back, you know, what happened. And you need to know, in 2 weeks, you raised $12,000 for missions. Amen. Glory to God, right? Lives will never be the same. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Sorry, I'm having problems. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate to the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on them with John, Peter, they said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping, stood up and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Father God, we come before you today asking for me to be filled with your words. God, that's the only thing, that's the only way this works. If I get up here and I tell the best stories that Eric knows, we go home the same way we came, filled with problems. But I get up here and I allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me. You can identify our hearts and speak to the very needs of our life. And so God, there's not one person in this building that wants to hear the best of Eric. But Lord, we all desire to hear what you have to say. I pray, God, that we would be attentive today to the voice of God. I pray, God, that we would allow you to move in our hearts and our lives and identify some things that need to come down, some things that we need to repair, some things that we need to do better. God, I pray that we would each one of us lay our lives on the altar right now with an attitude that says, I'm willing to die today to myself so that Christ would live in me and use me so that Henry County will wake up to what God is doing in the land. America needs a move of God. America needs a church that is alive. God, I pray right now, start the work in us. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a powerful, powerful scripture, right? Peter and John went to pray. I mean, I can preach a sermon right there. Peter and John went to pray because it was the hour of prayer. We used to sing the song, Sweet Hour Prayer. You remember it? Biggest lie in the church. Ain't nobody praying an hour. If we were, things would be happening. When the church prays, and you are the church, when the church prays, things happen. Listen, God responds to us, but he does little, if nothing, if we don't ask. See, there needs to be, I'm not really concerned about whether you're praying an hour a day. Honestly, that doesn't, who cares? But you need to have a time, an appointment with God every day where you say at 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock or maybe 10 for you to get up late. At 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm setting aside a few minutes that I will seek the face of God for that day. I'm telling you, when children of God begin this, I counseled a couple, a married couple one time. It was so obvious to me their problems, and they called me every time they were in a fight, which means pretty much daily. They would call me, I would be on vacation, it didn't matter, and they'd be screaming at each other, and so we finally got them in for about the 15th time, and we talked to them, and it was really simple. You know, I knew what her needs was, her love language, and I asked him, I said, your wife needs a few minutes every day of your time. It's all, we can fix your problem with a few minutes. I'm serious. This is how simple it was. Will you give her 10 minutes of your day every day? Do you know he could not answer me? Would not answer me? Oh, if I came to you and said, I can fix your problems, will you give me 10 minutes a day? How simple is that? Yes. But he wouldn't do it. Best he could come up with is, I'll try. I never wanted to slap somebody so badly in all my life. What do you mean you're going to try? But see, I can say the same thing to you today. I can fix your problems. Will you give Jesus 10 minutes a day? I know some of you deep thinkers, you people that overthink everything, you think it's not that simple. It really is. See, a prayerless church is a powerless church. Why did they see such a miracle? Because they were going to church? No. Because it was their routine to meet at this hour to seek the face of the Lord. It's something about prayer that makes us sensitive to hearing God's voice. Prayer is communication. Do you know most organizations that fail, fail because of communication? Most churches, most prophets, profitable businesses, communication is always one of the key problems that if they have a problem. Communication is not just one way. Say, well, I pray all the time, Pastor. I'm always telling God my problems. You're just crying. That's not prayer. Prayer is going to God and it is shutting up. Will I allow him to speak to me? And for those of you that don't believe that God still speaks, you're in the wrong church. That's all I can say. Go find you a presbyter. I'm sorry, not presbyter. Oh, Hail Mary, full of grace, Father. Thou. Woo. Slip, slip, slip. You better settle it in your heart. God wants to speak to you. God will speak if you'll just shut up and turn everything off. Turn the world off. And it doesn't take long. You know, one word from God could change your life. Right? Let me tell you something else. One word from God that God drops in your heart in about 2 seconds will take you an hour to explain it to someone else. I'm telling you, when God downloads something, it's like you get this massive information and just like that. And if you don't know what, it's an internal. It's not an audible voice. It's inside of you. You just driving the car down the road and all of a sudden you know something you ought not know. God speaks to you something that you was not thinking about, but all of a sudden, and it may be something like, you need to pray for Darren Hopper right now. Let me tell you, I take that really serious. And it sounds like, Pastor, you're so random. Yeah, I am. And I wish I could tell you I always hear the Holy Spirit, but I don't. Even Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. Right? I don't get it all. But I find that if I keep seeking, he'll keep speaking. Do you know every day that you're out and about, you are running around people that have numerous needs? I mean, we pass people. I could walk down these aisles right now, and if the Holy Spirit told me, he could say, oh, there's a need over here, and there's a need over here, and there's a need. How come we pass them by? Peter and John didn't pass him by. Did you catch that this man was lame from his mother's womb? This guy has never walked a day in his life. He is begging for today's needs. Can you just help me through the day? And Peter and John hear him. See, I think they hear more than what he says. I think they hear the Spirit say, that one there. He's calling out to him. Hey, do you know why he's calling out to him? Because people that go to church are the most generous people in the world. Ooh, golly. Will you buy that one? People that go to church are the most generous people in the world. Well, it's weak, but I'll take it. They really are. Why? Because we recognize what he has done for us. They're just walking down the road. This man is not just crying out to Peter and John. He's crying out to everybody. He ain't letting nobody pass. But something clicks in Peter's heart. And he reaches down and he says, You see these pockets? Silver and gold have I none. What you're asking for, I do not have. But what you need, I have. You see, we're living in a world that may be asking for the wrong thing. They're seeking what they think will solve their problems. But what they need, we know. And we have. Right? We know that the needs that will change the world is Jesus. Most people are looking just to take care of today's needs. Can you just get me through today? Do you know, I think Christ wants to do more than that. I think he wants to set us on the path, not just to supply today, but to supply for your lifetime, right? 1 John 5:4 says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Faith is the foundation for which we overcome our trials. Romans 8:37, he says, "In all these things we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us." Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." You believe that? Yes. I can pass a test if I need to pass a test. Amen. Right? I can do whatever is put before me. Now, maybe the Lord hadn't called you yet into what you think he's calling you to. But when God calls you into your ministry, into your service, your natural thought will be, "I can't do that. I can't do that." And I think he agrees with you. You're right. You can't. But I can in you. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. Amen. There's another verse, just a few verses down. It says, "And my God shall supply all my needs according to the riches, his riches in glory." Do you know who that was written to? That was written to a desperately poor church that was abundantly giving. That is not, most every Christian knows that verse. But that is not given to stingy Christians. That verse is for givers. If you are a giver, if you allow what God puts in your hand to flow out, God will keep putting things in your hands. Are you listening to me? It's a principle of God. Yeah, patty cake, patty cake. When God was speaking to Moses, he asked him this question early on. He said, "Moses," he says, "what's in your hand?" "Well, just a stick. It's my rod." The poor man, the beggar, looked at Peter and John and he said, "What's in your pocket?" "Nothing." Right? What's in you? And so I think it's a good question. I think it's a question of the Holy Spirit. What's in your hand? What is in your power? What can God use that you hold on to? And as long as you hold on to it, it's worthless. But when you release it, if Moses, when God says, "What's in your hand?" He said, "Well, it's a rod." And God said, "Well, throw it down." If Moses had said, "No. If I throw it down, I got to pick it up. I'm not doing that." Sounds like some Christians today, doesn't it? Amen. Do you know we would have never known the rest of that story? That rod would not have turned into a serpent in his hand. He had to release it. Every born again believer, listen to me. God has gifted you with something. He did not skip a believer. You have a gift that the body of Christ desperately needs. I watched today as Dave came down to this altar for prayer, and all of a sudden, I started seeing men, boom, 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 coming up to pray for him. Why? Because he has released his giftings in this body, and people love that man. Are you following me? They have responded to his gifting. When you release your gift, when you say, God, it's not much, but you can have it. I release this rod. I release this gift of hospitality. I release this gift of love. I release ministry. I release it. I don't want to hold on any longer. I give it to you. Then God gets involved, and then miracles happen. The Holy Spirit said something in Ephesians chapter 3. I know Paul wrote it, but it was really written by the Holy Ghost. And he said, it's like he couldn't quit bragging. He says, now to him who is able. That would have been enough right there. Are you following me? God's able. Somebody needs to hear that. Somebody that walked in with a problem today thinking, how's this going to get fixed? Listen to these words. God is able. Amen. To do exceedingly. Oh, the Holy Spirit just had to add it, didn't he? To do exceedingly. See, it's not enough that he's able. He's an exceeding God. Wish I could read my writing. Abundantly. He's exceedingly, he's abundantly, above all you ask. But that's not the part that gets me. Above all you ask or even think. Oh, buddy, I'm a thinker, right? I think big things, right? I'm a dreamer. I mean, at any point in my life, and I've been like this since I was a little kid, I've got a weekly plan. I've got a monthly plan. I got a 3-year plan. I got a 10-year. I'm out there. I got all kinds of plans. And the Holy Spirit just said, God's bigger than my dreams. Amen. Oh, come on. Somebody need to hear that. Amen. God's bigger than your dreams. I believe with all my heart that there is someone here that as a child, God put a dream in you. And the devil has told you it's impossible. The devil has told you that can't happen in you. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Dale was talking to someone yesterday and she told him, she said, well, God can't use me. Now I'm paraphrasing it because I've got a tattoo. Buddy. If God starts weeding us out because of tattoos, I've just lost over half my congregation right here. I know you. Bunch of heathens. You know that drug addicts are not the only addicts. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, more than what you ask, more than what you think. And that's still not the most exciting part of this. According to the power that is within you. See, I don't know what your doctrine says, but when you ask Jesus in your heart, something mighty happened. The Holy Spirit came in you. The third part of the Godhead. Paul said, I have a mystery. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. I can't explain it. I don't understand it all. But I'm telling you, I know that God Almighty is within me. and we are a church that is limiting. I'm not talking about Bridge of Hope. I'm talking about Ecclesia. We are a church. We are a people of God that are limiting the power that's within us. When's the last time you pulled out your pockets and said, what you're asking for, I don't have. But there is a power within me that is so much greater than money can buy. See, that man left that day walking and leaping, which is wonderful, but that ain't the best part. Walking and leaping and praising God. Why? Because he recognized that it was not Peter and it was not John that touched him. It was the Almighty God that restored to him something he was never able to do. Born from the womb, crippled, but in a moment's notice, when he got a hold of men of God that were recognizing the power of God, God touched him. And I am foolish enough to believe that Acts is still being written. Amen. See, what God was really looking for, he's always been looking for. In Genesis chapter 2, he says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden. Some of you think that Adam was created in the garden. He was not. But he was put in the garden for a reason. To tend and keep it. God was looking for a gardener. I need a gardener. So he created Adam. In Ephesians chapter 2, he said, we are God's masterpiece. We are God's highest creation. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Not to be religious. For good works, which God prepared beforehand. Before you were born, God wrote your story. How closely are you walking that out? You ever thought about that? That we should walk in Him. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says, it is God who works in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. Oh, this is the hard part. Do all things then without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Boy, that describes us today, doesn't it? Amen. Among whom you shine as lights. Are you getting that? Yes. You are supposed to light up Henry County. Amen. You shine as lights in this world. Why? Because we're reflective. We're like the, we're not the sun, we're the moon. We're reflecting the sun's light, right? But listen to the rest of this. He says, holding fast the word of life. I'm gonna tell you, there is such a move of the devil today to get you to back up on this. It comes just little. Just small things. The devil's smart enough that if he gave you the whole lie, you wouldn't believe it. So he just comes in just a little bit. Just believe this lie. Back up on this truth. How many of you will hold fast the word of life? Come on, folks. I know you're ready to get out of here. I'm ready to quit, actually. But I ain't quitting until you get it. We may be here a little while. I had lunch with my good friend, pastored a church for 39 years. One church, 39 years. And he said, one day his deacon called him. And he said, Pastor, he said, I can't sleep. It's 10 o'clock at night. He said, I can't sleep. He said, would you mind preaching a sermon to me? I know some of you have that same attitude. And he called him by name. He said, I've watched you in church and you're asleep during the announcements. It ain't me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm bringing you to a decision. If you want to play religion, go to another church. I need your seat for someone that really wants to believe. I am just as serious as a heart attack right there. You say, Pastor, you ought not say that. Yes, I should say that. I should have said it 10 years ago. Amen. If you play in church, play church somewhere else. Hold fast the word of life. Paul's writing, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain or labored in vain. Here's my point. You're going to have to be courageous. Amen. Peter and John were courageous. We were in our men's meeting. We have a men's meeting every Tuesday night. And the Lutheran pastor is coming to our men's meeting. It's so wonderful. I love this guy. His name is Cole. He's been coming for probably 3 months. Fabulous man for all I know. He knows the word of the Lord. I can tell you that. And we started talking about being a coward. And I think every one of us think we know what that means. And someone said, Cole, haven't you studied this word in the Greek? He said, yes, I have. He said, will you explain to us what it is? What's coward mean? In the Greek, it means to drop your shield. That's good. Now, some of you, a little thick, didn't get it, but it's good. Let me explain it to you. The Roman soldiers would lock shields when they were fighting. Come here, Treva. Come here, Darren. I don't have shields for you, sorry. But when we were fighting, we would pull up our shields and we would lock them together. And the enemy couldn't penetrate. We can fight all day long as he comes at us because we're locked together. We're standing in unity, and Christ talked all the time about unity. But I'm a coward and I drop my shield. And when I drop my shield, and I back up. You know what happens to them? I made them vulnerable. You can sit down. Thank you so much. Are you following that?
Yes.
I didn't just hurt myself. I hurt my brother and sister. I hurt the church. Why? Because I dropped my shield. When I should have been brave. He has called me to be brave. He's called me to act in love, speak the word, hold the word of truth.
Amen.
But we're dropping the shield today in church.
Amen.
We're running home. I've got a short sermon. Somewhere, I'll find it one day. That's my sermon. Don't drop the shield.
Amen.
Pick it up. Let's stand together. Let's lock arms. Let's lock shields. Let's do something for God. Let God move every day. We are moving by people that need to be saved. They need a touch of Jesus. Their marriages can be restored if we will talk. You guys wear me out. I'm closing with this question. Are you willing to be brave? Folks, we are in the end times. Deception is running wild. Believers are denying the power thereof. Many, many Christians don't believe that God still heals.
Amen.
That God still wants to restore. That God still can save us. I don't care how bad you are. God is able. I know that peer pressure is going to make you want to stand. So I'm working against myself right now, if that makes sense to you. I don't want you to stand, but I'm going to ask you, if God is speaking to your hearts about being brave, about getting your shield, and doing the work of the Lord, I want you to stand. Now, I don't care that I see you, but I want you to know the Holy Ghost sees you right now. If you're standing because everybody stood in the congregation, you're in trouble. Because the Holy Ghost sees you. Treva, come to the piano. It's time that the cowardice stop. It's time we be brave. We must be brave. Brave as a lion. You know what? The devil ain't the only one supposed to be roaring. I don't know about you, but the Bible says that Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's got a roar. Man, I don't know if you're feeling that, but I have this thing in me. I just want to roar so bad right now. I'm really trying to hold myself together and be respectful, but it's really difficult. I want to pray, God, Lord, you hear and you see every person that stood. God, I have preached what I feel like you have laid on my heart. And there are so many people that need for believers to step out in faith and believe God for transformation. God, I pray right now that you would empower us and give us a backbone, that we would be able to stand against the insults and against those that will turn their head or say something a little negative about us. God, they're really not criticizing us. They're really criticizing you. And you told us that would happen. But I pray right now, Holy Spirit, to empower us with courage. The courage that we need to look at a lame man and say, I have what you need. I don't have what you want, but I have what you need. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Not in the name of Eric. Not in the name of any other false religion. But in the name of Jesus, I pray that they would be touched and healed. God, I pray for these that are standing. Empower them right now by your Holy Spirit to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all they ask or even think, according to the power that's within them. Now, I want you to tell the Lord right now, I receive it. God, we receive it right now, Lord. We've asked and we receive the power of God that's calling us out right now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Denny. Now, if Denny takes 10 minutes to end this thing, that's just his pronouncements.
I'm not going to take long, but I'm going to tell you, My kids are grown, so they're not part of the back to school thing. But as a deacon, I was challenged to be involved, and I'm pumped. So if you want to see me beat those kids like a rented mule, go to the next building as soon as we leave here. All right. Now Carla assured me that she adjusted some of the rules to favor the kids. I don't know how much that's going to work, but. The only way you'll know is if you go over and find out. Raise your hand and receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.